From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is electro funk and soul, throwback hip hop, and down tempo producer Grammatic. Born Denis Yashurovich in Slovenia, shortly before the fall of Yugoslavia and the Eastern Bloc, a time of great turmoil in Eastern Europe, Denis J grew up listening to rock and blues, playing in bands, and finally discovering Wu-Tang in his teens. Years of chart-topping electro house, drum and bass, and hip-hop productions brought him to the States and to the attention of Derek Vincent Smith of Pretty Lights, who just last month released Grammatic's Beats and Pieces Volume 1 for free on his label, Pretty Lights Music. In this first half of a two-part episode, we delve into Grammatic's background, trying to figure out how he got from point A to point B. Today's episode is brought to you by Press Play, bringing melodic bass superstar Nit Grit to Denver's Bluebird Theater on Friday, September 2nd. I went with Unce senior contributor Natty Morrison to see Nit Grit in Chicago, and Natty's a pretty talkative guy. He was literally speechless, struck dumb by the intensity of Nit Grit's dubstep attack. He's going to be joined by Cloud D and Rodway. Tickets can be purchased through Ticketmaster, and you can get more details at PressPlayColorado.com. Let's hear his very popular remix of arguably the greatest song ever written, Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Nit Grit's remix of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Let's get to the interview with Grammatic. Your background is so interesting. I want to start at the very beginning of your musical education in Slovenia when you were just a little kid. Did you grow up surrounded by musical instruments?
Yeah, actually I did. So when I was a kid, like I always used to be attracted, you know, to music. Like my mother used to tell me that she used to find me glued to the stereo when I was like 3 years old in my older sister's room. Just like glued to it, like listening to some, I don't know, you know, Beatles or something like that, and just tapping my feet on the floor. So she saw that I'm going to be a music head, totally. And then when I got to second grade, my parents got me taking piano classes and learning some piano. I didn't like finish musical school or whatever. I just like attended a couple of years. And then in fourth grade, a couple of buddies of mine who were also like, you know, taking up instruments and shit. So we decided like, yo, let's make a band, you know, so fourth graders, you know, and we started messing around like some, you know, our fucking friends would play video games, we would play instruments.
What kind of music were you playing?
We were playing like basic rock and roll, like Beatles and stuff like that, like Stand By Me and stuff, music like that, you know, basic rhythm and blues and, you know, struggling at it as fourth graders, you know.
Did you get a big following through that?
That's funny. Yeah, no, dude. What happened was that by the time we got to fifth grade or something, we actually were able to play a couple of songs, you know, pretty decently. And then our school decided to throw us, like, for, you know, at the end of the school when you have, like, at the end of the year when it's, like, the party at school, you know, before New Year's Eve. So, yeah, we played a concert for our teachers and our classmates. So that was fun. You know, around that time, when I was pretty much sure that this is what I want to be doing, like, all the time.
So how does a kid of your background, you were growing up in Slovenia, you were playing rock and roll, how did you discover hip-hop? I imagine a majority of your peers, maybe when you got to your teen years, were listening to dance music, club music of the Dutch, and that Ibiza sound, all of that.
Exactly. You're nailed it on the head. It was, you know, Europe is mainly 4/4 when it comes to electronic music, you know, well, the States are more like broken beat orientated. And so, you know, basically when I got to seventh grade, I discovered hip hop, you know, it got kind of late. So that was like probably around 97. So I discovered hip hop. I got my first album was actually 36 Chambers by Wu-Tang, you know, so
sure.
I was blown away, like all those, you know, funk and, I didn't know it was sampling at the time, actually. It was weird because I was like, I thought it was like actual, like, you know, live music being performed and people rapping over it. And it was awesome. Mm-hmm. So, and then later on, I discovered, like, you know, most of the tracks and, for example, like Tupac's and, you know, especially the 36 Chambers. Like, those are like the first album I was 36 Chambers, Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style. Like Tupac, mm-hmm. I mean, Me Against the World, like Tupac, and, you know, albums like that. Those were my first, like, discovering hip-hop at that point. So it got kind of late. You can see that it got kind of late in Slovenia, especially my part of the country. Maybe the capital city was a little bit ahead of us at that time, but whatever. Yeah, I discovered rap, and I was, like, blown away. And then I discovered, like, that those beats contained samples. And I was like, fuck. So those are basically, like, just, like, sample, you know, joints from the 60s and 70s, like, bits and pieces and chops and used for making another instrumental. So that was kind of mind-blowing to me, so I got more into that. You know, there was no internet at the time. It's just like Google stuff up like you do today, you know? It's like, it was like basic internet, and I first got introduced to the internet in seventh grade, so that was, again, like around 97, something like that. So, yeah, it was totally a different time back then, and I totally got swallowed up by hip-hop. I dropped the band stuff, started writing. I started as an MC, and then later on I started producing. Like maybe a year later, I got introduced to a first sequencer, Cubase 3.2 at the time or something like that. And, you know, I was like, wow, you can make music on a computer. That's awesome. And the rest is history.
You see, mystery is an intellectual process. Suspense is essentially an emotional
Good evening, Mr. Hitchcock from Grammatics Beats and Pieces Volume 1. Speaking of young producers, 20-year-old Charles Weinert, aka Sir Charles, put out a 2-track release on Elliott Lipp's Old Tacoma label. Let's listen to Escape. Sir Charles with Escape, out now on Old Tacoma Records. Let's get back to Grammatic.
Were you trying to find the samples of your idols? Were you trying to find the same records that maybe RZA was digging through and looking at old movies and trying to sample bits and pieces from kung fu flicks or anything you could find? Where did you go once you realized what sampling, what it could do?
I discovered it, like, at first, I started sampling, like, basic, like, tracks from the 60s and 70s, you know, just like everybody else was doing at the time, like Pete Rock and DJ Premier and RZA and all of those guys that I was looking up to. Like, they were making dopest beats for me personally at that time. And I was like, fuck, I should do the same, you know, just, like, start digging and, you know, start chopping up samples and see how good I am at that, you know. Let's see. I really want to do that. I want to try that. So later on, I discovered that, like, it doesn't matter, you know? It's like, you can sample, you know, anything you find, even just, like, pieces and from the movies and stuff like that. So this is what I do right now. I try to combine it the most outrageous combination of samples. Like, I actually, in Beats and Pieces Volume 1, I sampled a very known movie from my home country, a Slovenian movie called, the exact translation is Happiness Unleashed, just like the song is called. So okay. I sampled like 2 different scenes from that movie, which are the basic like instrumentation. And so it's a kids movie, and we were all watching it growing up. Everybody in my country knows the movie, and it's really a cool movie. And I sampled like 2 scenes from that movie that were like really epic to me, and they defined my fucking childhood. And it was really nice, you know, to mess around with that. And the track holds kind of sentimental value now for me. So yeah. So I do stuff like that now. I sample like the most unthinkable stuff that you can sample and try to get away with it, you know.
But when you were first making electronic music, you did everything. You hadn't quite figured out what your style was, maybe. And so you're doing everything from hip-hop to house. I mean, your first hits were electro house, which is very different from what you do now. What sort of made you settle on your current sound?
I still haven't figured out what my style is. I still like vary between genres, and it's still not clear to me, you know, what I want to do in the future. I don't know what I'm going to do like 5 years from now, what kind of, you know, genre. And I hate that word, because genres were like labeling something as a genre was always like a limitation for an artist, you know, because I like to combine everything I like listening to, you know, from like the raw blues to the most electronic fucking, you know, electro house or whatever. So it's like trying to find like a picture that could, like a mosaic, you know, like that could fit, you know, all those genres that I like listening to. And hopefully, you know, by the end of the track, it's somewhat of my own style, you know, that people could say, oh, okay, that sounds like Dramatic. That's what I'm trying to achieve.
Here it is, Happiness on a Leash from Dramatic. Here's the new Architecture in Helsinki remix from the Polish Ambassador. This is Escapee. Polish Ambassador remix of Architecture in Helsinki's Escapee. He hits the road with Mochi Pet next month.
Let's sort of break down that process of growth. You were, of course, recently signed to Pretty Lights Music. Tell me about how your first major release, Beats and Peace Volume 1, differs from your Street Bangers trilogy. What sort of musical evolution did you undergo? Was it maybe software, or did your actual creative process differ from I guess 2009 to this year?
Well, it doesn't differ that much, just like in small details. But, you know, the basic concept of Beats and Pieces was the same, because I wanted to keep that series going, you know, the Street Banger series. But I just, because I signed a different label, I decided it's a time for a new series, you know.
Okay.
Instead of dropping Street Bangers 4, I decided just to end that series, like that's in the past now. And, you know, let's start with a new one, new label, new series, and with the same kind of approach to it. So Beats and Pieces is basically the successor of what Street Bangers was. And I think in terms of style, it doesn't differ that much. Maybe like some tracks are maybe a bit different, but generally speaking, it's the same style. So it's like raw sample based hip hop beats with, you know, expanded arrangements and some like a thin layer of live instrumentation, you know, and that's what it is. And that's like what I come from, you know, that's my roots right there. So I'm always going to be doing that. But at the same time, I'm trying to drop two projects a year. So one that, you know, connects with my roots, and the other one is trying to develop something new and fresh and incorporate all of the genres that I really like listening to right now into one, my own signature style, hopefully.
So that's the plan. Fantastic.
So last year, basically, those two projects was Street Bangers Volume 3, and then in September I dropped No Shortcuts, you know, which was like my pet project. And so for this year I'm trying to do the same. I just dropped like Beats and Pieces Volume 1, and then by the end of the year, I'm hoping to drop Never Been a Silent Type, which is going to be like somewhat of a No Shortcuts flavored album.
Okay. Let's sidetrack for a second. Tell me, how much involvement did you have with the video for your single, So Much for Love? I understand maybe sometimes the label will take charge, or your creative team will go out and try and match your audio with some sort of precise visual representation. I wonder how involved were you in that process?
Well, as far as PLM goes, as a label, they're not your typical kind of label. They let their artists be like creative and take control of their own career and be business wise on their own. So they didn't have any, you know, like wishes to affect my creative process or my, you know, marketing, you know, plans or strategy. That was all from my own team, and I really respect that. And that's how a label should be right nowadays. So, you know, PLM gives you like a chance to expose yourself to their massive fan base, and, you know, try to make business-wise, you know, business decisions on your own, and try to, you know, take care of your own image and your own artistry. And that is what I respect the most. You know, there is not a lot of labels like that out there today. So that's a good thing. As far as the video goes, basically the idea was already made before I ever saw it, because it was a project made for some, you know, different purpose. And I actually, the guys that were making are tied. The KN Pro was one of the production companies that were making the video, in collaboration with my own Dream Big Collective production company, which also makes like everything that involves multimedia, from video to graphic design and everything. So there was like a, you know, combined effort to make that happen, because I had the track So Much for Love. It was made before the video. It was named like that. So they brought to my attention that there's this video that would really fit to the track. And when I saw it, I was like, fuck, this is like perfect. You know, it's like we actually made the video based on the track and based on the sample. Like, even the people that know what I actually sampled it, I tracked, would totally connect the video to it. Even the original track, not just my take on, you know, the sample.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like one of those things that were meant to be, you know. It just came together, and it was like beautiful to see it happen, you know, just like fit like that. And yeah, that's the backstory.
We'll be right back.
much for Love from Grammatic. That's going to do it for the first half of the UNS podcast interview with Dennis J. Tomorrow, we'll talk about his live show, his relationship with his boss, Derek Vincent Smith, label head at PLM, and more about his latest release, Beats and Pieces Volume 1, available for free at prettylightsmusic.com. A couple of weeks ago, the UNS launched its 2011 digital music sampler featuring new tracks from Bass Nectar, Thievery Corporation, Freak Nasty, Low Bounce, Future Rock, EP3, Ski Tones, and more. We've got a couple of remix tracks as well, one from FS and another from Ill Gates and Dove. You'll be able to get flyers featuring our digital sampler's QR code at each stop on the Identity Fest tour, including today in Tampa at the 1-800-ASK-GARY Amphitheater, as well as other major festivals taking place this summer and into the fall. Our street teams will come find you, or you can just look out for folks in UNS t-shirts. Scan the QR code with your smartphone, and each of these tracks will be available for stream or download. If you don't have a smartphone, don't worry about it. Our sampler is featured quite prominently on our homepage at theUNS.com. Remember, today's episode was sponsored by Press Play, bringing the overlord of dubstep, Nitgrit, to the Bluebird Theater in Denver, Colorado, on Friday, September 2nd, with hometown hero Cloud D and Maine's Rodway. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, and you can get all the information you could possibly want at PressPlayColorado.com. Let's get a quick update of the UNS.com contest page. Win tickets to see Atari Teenage Riot in Pittsburgh. You can also win tickets for Boombox and Elliot Lip. Dub Nation presents their Back to School Blowout with Smash Gordon. And we've got festival passes for Jazz Aspen Snowmass over Labor Day weekend with Girl Talk, Thievery Corporation, Paper Diamond, and Porter Robinson. And The Workout coming up in just a few short weeks in Ohio. Please visit the UNS.com/contests and sign up. Please visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theUNS.com. Join in the conversation at the UNS podcast on Twitter. Catch you tomorrow.